John 14:15, there are 9 words. And this morning, I'm going to suggest to you that these may be some of the most misunderstood words in Scripture. And the words in the ESV read like this, John 14:5, and it says this. Jesus is saying this. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Depending on how you hear these words, they will either set you free or drive you into the ground. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Because these 9 words sometimes have been used as a weapon. Because some people hear in these 9 words, if you really loved God, you'd be perfect. Therefore, they end up in a ditch of shame, right? Other folks say, well, God loves me no matter what, so it doesn't matter how I live. And so they use grace as a license. But this morning, Jesus offers us neither shame nor license, but life. And in this passage today, we're going to see a few things. Number one, we're going to discover that to love Jesus is to obey him. We're going to find, though, that he never calls you to obey alone. And then we'll discover that over time, your life will start to look like your heart. Now, I want you to do this. Turn to somebody around you and tell them, somebody's going to get free this morning. The title of my message this morning is Drawn, Not Driven, When Love Fuels Obedience. Drawn, not driven, when love fuels obedience. So, to love is to obey. We see this in verse 15 of John chapter 14. Larry King read that for us this morning as our gospel reading today. And so I want to look at verse 15 today with fresh eyes. You know what that means? To look at it and see it in a way that you haven't seen it before. And so to do that, it's really important that we observe the order of the words here. Because Jesus doesn't say this. He doesn't say, keep my commandments and I'll know you love me. Right? Doesn't say that. He doesn't say, behave correctly, and then you can call yourself a disciple. He says, if you love me, notice that love comes what? First. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We could put it like this. Love is the engine, and obedience is what the engine produces. You see, you don't start the Christian life by behaving right. You start the Christian life by receiving love, and then obedience begins to flow from that love. Now, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments. And some of you in the back of your mind, what commandments? What are these commandments he's talking about? You know, because if you've read the Gospel of John, you'll know something that John doesn't read like Matthew, right? Can some of y'all know what I'm talking about? In John, you're not going to find a Sermon on the Mount like you see between like Matthew 5 through 7, where Jesus is given a lot of commandments, a lot of rules, a lot of principles, and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. He says, love your enemies and treat people right and think right and act right and do right. You don't find this list of do's and don'ts in John. John's coming at it from a different perspective. So when John quotes Jesus as saying, my commandments, he's not giving you a long checklist of more things to do. Aren't you glad about that today? Because you have enough things to do. But he's rooting all of these commands in one command, and that is this, to love like I love you. Jesus here is referring to what he had commanded his disciples in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And this is what he said. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So Jesus is breaking it down here, and John is going right to the heart of the matter. Jesus is saying, love God, love each other, love the way he loved, which is to say, love sacrificially, love completely, love to the point where it cost you something. Turn to somebody and tell them, love is not a feeling. Follow up, love is a decision. Matter of fact, New Testament scholar N.T. Wright points out in John's Gospel, he writes that love is not a warm feeling. It's a chosen commitment to someone's good modeled on how the Father loves the Son and how the Son loves the world. This means that on the days when you don't feel it, you still choose it, right? On the days when the worship music doesn't move you, some of y'all, I was worried about some of y'all this morning. Because we was bumping up here and you guys were really comfortable. Yeah. But on the days when the person that you spoke, on the days when the worship music doesn't move you, it means you still choose love. It means on the days when the person you're supposed to forgive is behaving in such a way as though you realize they don't really deserve it, you still choose it because love is a choice. Love is a chosen commitment, not just a warm emotion. I was thinking about, here's a little illustration that puts it in terms that I think we can relate to. You know how it is when you find, brothers, you know when you find the right barber, right? Because some of us just can't go anywhere. Sisters, you know when you find the right stylist, right? I know my wife's been with the same one for about 20 years now. She's on here somewhere today. You know, it's like, and you just don't get up to, well, I'm not available. Well, I'll just find somebody else. It's like, it ain't that simple. When you find a barber, I'll just speak from a male perspective, who knows your head, and I got a weird head. Somebody said, amen, you do, Pastor. When you find a barber who knows your head, you don't go to that person out of obligation. You go because you trust them. And when they say to you, well, I can't see you on Saturday, I need you on Tuesday because I got something to do, you adjust not because there's a rule, but because there's a working relationship that's worth it. And that's what obedience looks like that flows from love. It's not an obligation, right? It's not fear. It's not performance. It's the natural response of someone who has been so changed by a relationship that they organize their life around that relationship. But the problem is that some of us have tried to order our lives around obedience without allowing ourselves to be drawn by love. A great African-American preacher named Gardner Taylor, he once said this. I love these words. He says, we are not driven to God by duty. We are drawn to God by love. And once you have been drawn, everything else begins to follow. Drawn to God by love. That, listen, I could maybe sit down right now. Somebody said that'd be good because we could go ahead and eat. But that's the text. That's the testimony. That's the truth. That's the sermon. Some of you in this room and somebody listening to me today, you've been trying to be obedient without being in love. You've been white-knuckling your Christian life for years, showing up, going through the motions, checking all the boxes, but at times your heart hasn't been in it, and you are bone-tired. If that's you this morning, I want to say something to you directly. The problem is not your willpower. Amen? The problem is not that you need just to try harder. The problem is this, that you have drifted away from the love. Let me tell you this morning, the only solution is to go back to the cross, back to the place where you first understood what Jesus did for you, back to the moment when his love for you first became real. Obedience is the engine of love, and obedience is not the engine of love. Love is the engine of obedience. Got it? But then the second aspect of it is this. You are not alone. So far, what we've seen up to this moment is that love is the engine and obedience is what love produces. But if we stop there, most of us will feel two things. Number one, convicted. And number two, exhausted. I know I'm supposed to love and obey, but I know myself. And how can I ever live this out? But Jesus knew that question would come, and that's why he didn't stop at verse 15 that we cited a moment ago. He goes on. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. And now listen, get this, it's very, very important. He doesn't hand you a standard and leave you alone to meet it, right? Are you glad about that? He hands you the standard and he sends help. Turn to your neighbor and say this, God never gives you an assignment without giving you assistance. Say it again. God never gives you an assignment without giving you assistance. Let's take a closer look at this word helper. In the Greek, it's the word parakletos. The word we transliterate it down to the word paraclete, not parakeet, paraclete. And it means this, one called alongside to help. Not someone standing over you and judging you. Not someone watching you from a distance to evaluate you. Someone called to stand right beside you, right next to you, right at the moment when you are in over your head. Any of y'all ever been in over your head? Any of y'all been in over your head recently? I can say amen to that. Gail O'Day, in her commentary on John, wrote this, the paraclete is not a replacement for Jesus. The paraclete is the continuation of Jesus, the same presence, the same truth, the same love, now internalized, now dwelling within the believer rather than walking beside them. Did you hear that? The same presence, the same truth, the same love, now on the inside. I get excited when I read these words, you know, because I realize something. This means that the same presence that calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee is on the inside of you. Amen. The same presence that raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days is on the inside of you. The presence that turned the water into wine and healed a blind man and that couldn't see and healed the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, that same presence is now living in you. And the very reason Jesus can call you to a standard of love and obedience that is higher than your natural ability is because he's not calling you to reach it in your own strength. He's calling you to tap into the strength that already resides inside of you because you have more inside of you than you realize. I wish I had an electrical lamp as a prop this morning, but I don't. But you have lamps at your house, right? And you do, right? Now, when you plug the lamp into the wall, you know that the lamp does not generate its own electricity, right? The lamp doesn't have to produce the power, right? The power is already in the plug because the power is in the grid, and all the lamp has to do is what? Stay connected. Assuming that you didn't forget to pay the bill. The lamp just plugs into the power that's already there. The lamp doesn't produce the power. Your job is not to produce the power. Your job is to stay connected. Amen? To stay connected in the Word. To stay connected in prayer. To stay connected in community. To keep the connection alive. If you keep the connection alive, guess what? The power will flow. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who's trying to generate your own power. Stop trying to generate and start connecting. The Spirit is the one called alongside to help, and the power you need is already inside you. You don't generate it. You stay connected to Him. But the Spirit is not just about power. He's also about presence. And that's where Jesus goes next in verse 18, where he says this. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, I want you to understand the weight of that word orphans here. In the ancient world, an orphan was not just someone without parents. An orphan was someone without protection, someone without provision, someone without a name, someone potentially exposed to the elements, vulnerable and alone. An orphan had no one to speak up for them, no one to fight for them, nobody who was obligated to show up for them. And Jesus looks at his disciples who are about to watch everything in their world fall apart, right? Who are about to scatter like sheep without a shepherd, who are about to feel the most alone they have ever felt in their lives because he's about to leave them. And he says to them, I'm not going to leave you like this. I am coming back to you. Theologian James Cone, let me give you a little musicology, just a little teeny bit here. Theologian James Cone said that the blues and the spirituals both come from this conviction. God does not abandon people who suffer. And he goes on to say the promise of presence is what kept black people alive. Amen to that. And it's the promise of God's presence that will sustain black and brown and all people as we fight the powers that are trying to rob us of our freedom right now in Jesus' name. Church, but let me tell you something. Jesus says he will not leave you as an orphan. I hope you're glad about that today. He's not going to leave you in the moment of the diagnosis. You know what I was thinking? We're praying for Octavia Allison. As I was working through my sermon the last couple of days, I was thinking about her, being able to talk to her. She's in the hospital, and she had like 10 strokes overnight, and she's doing okay, believe it or not. But I thought about the fact that, wow, you know, Jesus has not left her as an orphan right there in that hospital room. He's there with her. He's there with Brother Anthony at home as he's recuperating. He doesn't leave you in the midst of your diagnosis as an orphan. When you go through a separation or a divorce, he doesn't leave you as an orphan. When you go through the layoff or the change on the job, he doesn't leave you as an orphan. Not in the midnight season when you don't know how the bills are going to get paid. Some of y'all been there, right? When you couldn't figure out how you're going to meet that obligation the next day. He doesn't leave you like an orphan when you don't know how the family is going to get restored or how you're going to even find strength to face another day. Jesus says, because I live, you also will live. Because I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you, you are connected to something that death could not break and hell could not shut down and the grave could not contain. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. You are not abandoned. You are adopted. Let me say it again. You are not abandoned. You are adopted. You have my presence, God says, my spirit, my power living in you. But here's the question. What does that actually look like over time? If his love and his spirit are really in us, what difference will that make in the way we live? That takes us to our third movement here. And it's this, that your life reflects your heart. Verse 21, he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And watch these words, and manifest myself to him. Jesus is kind of closing the loop here. Watch this. He opened in verse 15, you know, by saying love produces obedience. And now in verse 21, he's bringing it all the way back around, everything in its proper order. And he's saying obedience reveals love. Watch this, very important. Your life, your day-to-day, Monday through Saturday, way you treat people, the way you make decisions, the way you use your money, the way you speak to your family, all of this is going to tell the truth about what is going on in your heart, right? Somebody said it like this. The sermon of your life will always be louder than the sermon of your lips. You want me to say it again? I'll wait till my beloved first responders respond. The sermon of your life will always be louder than the sermon of your lips. Now, I need you to hear this very carefully because Jesus is not talking about perfection. He's talking about direction. He's not saying, have you ever stumbled? But he's saying, which way are you moving? You see, a river doesn't run necessarily in a straight line. A river can bend, right? The river can curve. Sometimes the river can look like it's going the wrong way. But from above, when you look down at the river, when you chart the flow of the water, you'll realize that the river is always moving toward the sea. And your life in Christ is like that. Not always straight, but still moving, right? And so the question that Jesus is asking of your life is not, are you perfect? Because none of us could honestly answer that question affirmatively. But the question is this, in what direction are you moving? Oh, you hear me? In other words, is there more love in your life than last year this time? Is there more forgiveness in your heart than 6 months ago? Is there more fruit of the Spirit and less of the works of the flesh in your life than there were 5 years ago? Jesus is not asking, are you flawless? He's asking, in what direction are you moving? And like a river, your life may bend and curve with twists and turns, but is it moving toward Him? That's the question. But now, right in the middle of all that talk about loving Him and walking with Him, Jesus adds another promise. Excuse me, that most of us could skim right over. Because look at what He says. He says, to the one who loves Him and walks with Him, He says, I will love him and manifest myself to him. Manifest myself. Now, I'm not talking about the way manifest gets used on social media when y'all are trying to speak a car or a promotion into existence or something like that. Some of y'all are trying to manifest lunch up in here or whatever, you know. Jesus means something deeper and more lasting than that. So we're not talking pop spirituality here. We're talking about what Jesus actually promised. And to manifest means this, to make visible what was hidden. To show yourself in a way someone could not see before. Jesus is saying this, the more you walk with me, the more of me I will show you. The deeper you go in obedience and love, the more I will reveal myself to you in ways that the world around you cannot access and cannot understand. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I read this. Because as you continue on in Christ, here's the promise, that you'll start to hear His voice in ways you never heard before. As you follow on in Christ, you'll start to recognize His hand in circumstances and things that look to other people like coincidences. But you know better than that. You know it's the hand of God at work in your life. As you continue on in Christ, you'll begin to experience a peace that doesn't make sense to people around you, given what you're going through. As you continue to follow on in Christ, you'll start having a joy that doesn't depend upon the circumstances that you're faced with. Oh, Pastor Evie Hill used to say it like this, the longer I walk with Jesus, the better I know Him, and the better I know Him, the more I trust Him, and the more I trust Him, the freer I am. But that freedom isn't given to you all at once. It's built, it's cultivated, it comes incrementally. It's the product of what Eugene Peterson described in a term that he borrowed from Friedrich Nietzsche. It's this, it's a long obedience in the same direction. Talking about a long, faithful, sometimes stumbling walk, right? Oh, we fall, but we get up, right? With the one who has promised that He would never leave you as an orphan. And so, church, the more you walk with Him, the more He reveals Himself to you. I was thinking about all the people in my life that I've seen. Not a lot, but a few that have demonstrated that. I thought about a man that I came to know over the last couple of years. He's in his 80s now. And this man had taught a men's Sunday school class for years and mentored other men and sowed the Word of God into the lives of people faithfully. He lived in Altadena. And during the fires, his house caught on fire. And as his house began to burn, he picked up his wife, who was an invalid, to carry her out of the house. And as he's carrying her out of the house, she dies in his arms. So he lost his home, his family home. But more importantly, in that same instance, he lost the love of his life. I don't know how I could take that. But what I saw about this brother, and I've seen him several times since, many times. He didn't change course. He didn't change. He didn't deviate. He didn't stop serving God. He's still serving God. In fact, he just wrote a book about his testimony, his life story. Because I got the sense from looking at his life that Jesus had manifest himself to him over the course of his years of following. And there are other people around me like that. I think about our parents, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, my parents, people that walked with God and served God faithfully for years. Through time, through the process of life, Jesus had manifest himself to them. And Jesus, to that brother, had become real to that man. But let me tell you something. Jesus wants to be real to you and me as well. And right now in this culture, there's a kind of a weird, distorted, disjointed spirituality. We need to dig in and get everything that Christ has for us. We need Jesus to manifest himself to us now as never before. Do you believe that this morning? Do you just wave and amen? I need Jesus to show himself to me, to disclose himself to me, to reveal himself to me, to show me the things that I don't know about him, to help me to know him and better and to love him more deeply. Because the more you walk with him, the more he reveals himself to you. So we heard Jesus say, love me, obey me. We heard his promise, I'll send my spirit, I won't leave you as orphans. And we've heard him say, over time, your love and obedience will show up in your life, and I'll reveal more of myself to you. So we put it all together this morning as we prepare to land this plane. The passage begins and ends with what? Love. Love is the engine. Obedience is what the engine produces. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the fuel. We love, why? Because he what? First loved us. And so church, as we apply this to our lives, let me tell you what that means to all of us. Don't just try harder, love deeper, right? Go back to the cross. Stay connected to the Spirit. Walk imperfectly, but steadily in the same direction, in Jesus' direction. And as you do, I believe with all of my heart today that he will keep his promise. I will not leave you as orphans. I will manifest myself to you. The more you walk with him, the more of him you'll see. So if this is true, if that he loved you first and that his Spirit lives in you and that he's committed to revealing himself as you walk with him, how do you respond? I'll tell you how you don't respond. Not by white-knuckling your way into obedience, but by going back to the place where his love became real to you and letting that love become the fuel for your obedience. It means to get in community with people who are walking the same road. Amen. It means to get in the Word every day and let Jesus speak to you. It means to get on your knees and let the Spirit pray through you for things that you don't even have words for. And then get up off your knees and walk, not perfectly, but faithfully in the direction of Jesus. And as you walk, watch what happens. Slowly, quietly, sometimes imperceptibly, but sometimes without even noticing it until you look back over a portion of your life and realize how far you've come. Any of y'all ever had that happen? You took a moment to take in and say, wow, I really am not the same person I was 5 years ago. You look back and realize how far the Lord has brought you. Sometimes you through that whole process, you realize that Jesus is manifesting himself to you. He's going to show you things about himself that you couldn't see before. He's going to give you a peace that doesn't make sense, a joy that doesn't depend on circumstances, a love that overflows onto everyone around you. Because he's not just the Jesus of 2,000 years ago. Amen? Are you glad about that? He's the Jesus of May 10th, 2026, 12:26 p.m. He's the Jesus of right now, the Jesus of this morning. He's the Jesus who's in this room right now, and the Spirit of God is hovering over these airwaves, reaching out to folks on YouTube and folks on Zoom. He's the Jesus who promised, I will not leave you as orphans. And Jesus has always, how many of you know he has always kept his promise? Through slavery, he kept his promise. Through the midnight of grief that you may have gone through the valley of depression that some of y'all are experiencing, through the fires of persecution and through the flood of disappointment, he has kept that promise. And if he could hold his people through centuries of suffering like that, listen, he can hold you in whatever it is you're walking through right now. Glory to God. Oh, my brother, oh, my sister, he's not done with you yet. He has more for us. He has more for you. He has more for this church. He has more for your life, more for your family. The fact that you're sitting in this room this morning, the fact that you're logged on with us on Zoom, the fact that you're looking at us on YouTube today, you know, it just, the fact that you're breathing, that you're still standing after everything that you've been through, is evidence that he has not left you. He's not forgotten you. He's not given up on you. He's with you. He's in you. And if you love him, if you walk with him, he will reveal himself to you in ways that will take your breath away. So church, love him, follow him, obey him, not out of fear, but out of the overflow of a heart that has been captured by his love. And watch, just watch what he does in your life. Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your promise. Thank you that the word we begin with in verse 15 was not a threat, not a word of condemnation, not if you better do right. But you're telling us, Lord, that you are the one that supplies us the energy, the strength to follow you, to love you, to obey you. And as we yield to you, and as we follow you and love you and obey you and serve you, as we walk with you, our lives may take all kinds of twists and turns, but you will bring us through. And through that process, we will come to know you better and see you more clearly. You will manifest yourself in our lives. God, we need you. Jesus, we need you as never before. Oh, everyone's lying to us. Everyone's talking trash. Everyone is talking trash about everyone else. Our culture is sliding into an abyss of ugliness and negativity and hatred and bigotry and racism and classism and sexism. And Lord, we need Jesus, you to manifest yourself to your people, to us as your church. And then we need to turn around and manifest the Jesus of Scripture, the Christ who's crucified and risen again, to this dark world around us. Jesus, we need to see you. In the words of the song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you high and lifted up. And we'd smash down every so-called king and despot and Lord that would try to raise up and over you, Lord. There's only one Lord, and you are him. And so we worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. Jesus and Jesus alone, we bless your name today. We thank you, Lord, and we will follow you. We're going to love you. We're going to walk with you. We're going to continue on, and we believe that we're going to come to see you more clearly and know you better and reveal you to the world around us. We thank you, Lord, for your presence and your promise that you will not leave us as orphans. You never left us alone. So we thank you and praise you for the promise of your presence. In Jesus' name, bless your name. Lord, for anyone today who's struggling, those who are dealing with grief today, Lord, Mother's Day sometimes is a bittersweet thing for us because it brings up the memories of, and we have a couple of members who recently lost their moms, and we lift those to you, Lord, who are dealing with that pain. And we pray, Lord, that through this celebration today, that we would find healing. But we pray, Lord, for anyone who's dealing with depression or anxiety, Lord. Anyone today, maybe there's someone today that needs to make a decision to follow you for the first time. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe that you rose from the grave. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. I give my life to you. Forgive my sins. That's all you have to do. Or maybe you're there. Maybe you're out there on Zoom or on YouTube today, and maybe you're a Christian. Maybe you've been concerned because the pathway of your river has been kind of all over the place. And maybe today you need Jesus to do a little excavation and straighten that bad boy out a little bit. Lord, today, if we've been walking in the wrong direction, put us on the right track today. There might be a Christian here today that's saying, Lord, I haven't been following you like I should, but I want to today. And so you can start right now. Father, forgive me for erring. Forgive me for going doing my own thing. I repent, Lord. And today I want to get back on track and faithfully follow you and love and serve you. That's all you have to do. Father, we thank you for your grace this morning, for the work that you're doing in the lives of your people. And we thank you that work will continue. Lord, the promise of Scripture is that you are faithful to complete in us the good work that you've begun. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.